This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.
And the singing sensation Chanticleer coming to Pittsburgh Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., Shadyside Presbyterian Church. Better get involved with tickets. Check out the website, shadysidepres.org. Live and without a net, Jared Pagenkopf is with us, a member of the choir. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you, and what are you up to with the choir Chanticleer?
Well, I'm currently calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. We just gave a great concert last night at Cathedral Basilica here in St. Louis, and things are going great for the choir. We have a really robust tour, and we are really excited to be in Pittsburgh in just a few days.
What program will you sing?
Our program is called Music of a Silent World, and it is a nature-inspired program. So we've got a lot of songs that have nature for their subject matters, and we also have quite a few songs by the German composer Max Reger, who used German Romantic poets, who, as you know, were really famous for using nature as a source of their inspiration.
You are doing well on this tour. I understand the tickets are selling well. Everyone's worried about ticket sales after the pandemic. In some places, it's been slow to come back. But Chanticleer, singers got to hear what you're up to.
Well, we are really excited about the high ticket sales. It has been quite a relief to see all of the robust audiences as we've been traveling around the country. It's nice to know that once upon a time during the pandemic, singing was largely the most frowned upon activity, but it's nice to see that audiences have come back. But we are out on the road about just as full throttle as we used to be pre-pandemic times, which is fantastic, and we're really excited to return to Europe for the first time this summer after the pandemic.
You have a new CD out. Will it be for sale at the concert on a clear day?
On a clear day, will be for sale at our concert on Sunday. And it's a CD of a lot of newer Chanticleer arrangements. We've got some arrangements by Gene Perling, the great jazz musician who arranged a lot of stuff for Chanticleer. Some newer commissions of the last couple of years. And it's just a lot of fun. And we thought it was appropriate for a post-pandemic, you know, seeing the world through a new lens, maybe.
Your choir has been together since 1978, formed in San Francisco, the name coming from Chaucer, and Chaucer was writing about the clear singers. What is the secret of the sound of Chanticleer? What is this special? This is a city of singers, let me tell you. We have a Mendelssohn choir, a Bach choir, church choirs. It's a fantastic, our Pittsburgh Concert Chorale. This is a town of singers. What is special about Chanticleer?
Gosh, where do I start? I think what was really special about Chanticleer is we have always ascribed to this sound that is focused on clear singing. As you said, the clear singing rooster in Canterbury Tales was Chanticleer, so that's where they took their name. But it's always been on that clear, bright, blended purity of tone singing. And what has set us apart is the fact that we have countertenors in our ensemble, six countertenors to match the three tenors and three baritones and basses. And that's always made our sound very unique over these last 46 years.
You are a countertenor yourself.
I am.
Meaning you get to a very high register.
Well, I strive to, but yes, we have a few gentlemen in the choir who sing, the countertenors sing the soprano and the alto parts in the choir that women would normally sing. So we find ourselves able to sing most of the repertoire that a mixed choir would sing. But yes, I do, am one of the sopranos in the group, so I try to sing as high as I possibly can.
Why no men in this choir from the very beginning?
Well, we are all completely men, we haven't had women because the people who put it together way back in the 1970s wanted to kind of recreate something that they would have heard back in the Renaissance, back at a time when a lot of the music was written by and for the church. And as we know, unfortunately, women were not allowed to participate in church, anything having to do with church at that time. So these people got together, these men got together and sang some stuff together and realized they had something pretty special, something they maybe hadn't heard before, and they wanted to present that in sort of an authentic way. And we've sort of gotten away from that a little bit, but we just have always had, our history has been men, and we've stuck with that. It's not to say that we don't like women singing. We really do, but we've just, this is what we do, and we've stuck to it.
And no additional instruments. You don't have any bells.
Nope. It's going to be completely a cappella. Just singing.
Tell me about your base in San Francisco. You have a fabulously popular Christmas concert every year there. Where do you perform most often in the city by the bay?
In San Francisco, at Christmas time, we perform at the University of San Francisco campus in a big, big old Jesuit church, beautiful, beautiful building. And then in normal time, shall I say, we perform frequently at the San Francisco Conservatory. They have a beautiful concert hall that we love to sing in. And we perform in any number of places around the Bay Area outside of San Francisco as well.
I want to know just a little bit more about the concert. Give me a little bit more detail about the, you mentioned some of the composers that you're going to do, but something that you especially love that you think makes a spectacular moment in the program?
Yeah, we have this group of pieces written by this kind of alternative punk rock renaissance woman named Majel Connery. She wrote this song cycle called The Rivers Are Our Brothers, which is taken from a speech by attributed to Chief Seattle. And each movement of this song cycle takes on a certain aspect of nature and basically personifies it. And so we have songs called I Am a Tree, I am the Air, I Am Snow. And so she's written all these texts, and they just really get you thinking about aspects of nature in ways that you maybe never otherwise would have. And they sound really cool, too. And they're very easy to listen to and kind of cute and still sophisticated and high level of musicianship going on. But yeah, those are my favorite pieces on this concert.
So while there are only men singing, you do sing the work of women composers.
We try to sing the work of women composers and lyricists as much as we can. Women have contributed, you know, just almost as much to the repertoire, certainly of contemporary music, and so we like to highlight as many female composers as we can. In fact, we have a composer in residence whose name is Ayanna Woods, and we will be performing a piece by her on the program as well.
And how are you doing on the diversity front? Does your choir look like America these days?
Yeah, I would say we have quite a few shades of white and brown in our ensemble, and we're pretty proud of that fact.
So your repertoire is diverse, too. You have all kinds of things in the composing list, the composers that you're performing.
That is true. It's mostly... it is a lot of white guys and a lot of white women, but we do we have a lot certainly to thank our previous music director emeritus Joseph Jennings, who is of African American origin, and he really arranged a lot of stuff for us and brought a lot of non-classical genres into our fold, like gospel and jazz and things like that. So we're really thankful to him, and having him as part of our legacy is really important to our credibility, I think.
Oh, speaking of that legacy, of course, you know, you have so many famous singers who've gone through the Chanticleer Choir. John Goldsmith ran our Hines Chapel Choir, and he was an alum of the Chanticleer group. You're putting your work out into the choral world around the globe.
We sure are, and it's one of the greatest things about what we do is with the traveling is going to all these places and seeing, you know, meeting up with gentlemen who have gone through this program and you know, remember it fondly and now have gone on to do amazing things. It's quite a club, quote unquote, to be a part of. So yeah.
Jared Pagenkopf, we'll look forward to your safe travel to Pittsburgh and the amazing work that your group does, Chanticleer, on Sunday afternoon. I have to ask you for a travel recommendation when we get to San Francisco. Now you're home. What do you take your out-of-town guests to see? What would you suggest we do?
Gosh, where do you even start? Just kidding. I think I love the North Beach part of San Francisco. It's way up. Near Pier 39, well, Pier 39 is in North Beach, but within North Beach, you've got Columbus Avenue, where all of the great Italian restaurants are. You've got the Lombard Street, which is that windy street that you see on postcards. And there's just so much great stuff to do up in Pier 39 and Ghirardelli Square. So check out North Beach.
We'll put it on the list for sure. And you know, you are coming to the city of Duolingo, and I read that you do 2,500 daily words or whatever. Duolingo is based here in Pittsburgh, you know.
I need to make a pilgrimage to the offices and extend my my thanks, my merci beaucoup.
So you're working on French and Spanish with Duolingo?
Yes. Yes, I am. Every day. In fact, as soon as we're done here, I'll probably open up my app and do a few exercises.
So 2,500, what's that mean?
That is, well, first I have to say now I'm up over 2,700. But that means that's over 7 years of doing lessons every day. Without a break.
Jared Pagenkopf, impressive. We'll look forward to matching, comparing notes with you and hearing your singing. Tell your colleagues, we're looking forward very much to their visit to Shadyside. You can go to the website, shadysidepress.org, and check out the availability of tickets. I'm sure they'll be tight by Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, the 14th. Chanticleer in Pittsburgh. What a joy to speak with you, Jared. Safe travels.
Thank you very much, Jim. I really appreciate the time.
This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.